the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
We're going to cover a different topic on the show today, something that you see more frequent in America today, and that's the subject of divorce. But believe it or not, the subject of divorce affects people differently. Every divorce is different, and depending on your age, it could be more dramatic. Joining me on the program is Karen Covey. She's a divorce lawyer, mediator, and educator. She's author of a book called When Happily Ever After Ends. Karen, I want to start out the topic. Divorce is not a new subject for most Americans. We see a lot more divorces today. But let's talk about something that is somewhat different as you age. I mean, somebody in their 20s, they might have made a mistake. Maybe it was their high school sweetheart, maybe in the 30s and 40s. But all of a sudden now you're talking about somebody in their 50s and 60s. Why is that different?
It's different because when you divorce later in life, you're faced with finite resources. And basically that means you have less time and less money. So whereas somebody in their 20s, if they get financially devastated by divorce, they have a lifetime to recoup their losses. But somebody who's in their 50s, 60s, or 70s doesn't have the same amount of time, the same income earning potential to recoup what they've lost. So divorce later in life has a lot different financial impact. I mean, divorce never is good for anyone's financial life, but it's harder when you divorce later on in life. If you haven't saved a really substantial retirement nest egg, the result of a divorce later in life could be devastating.
Yeah, because, I mean, we see a lot of boomers that are heading into retirement today, and because we've seen two bear markets, we're dealing in a world with zero interest rates, low interest rates, and some places negative interest rates. So people don't have the assets, or if they do have assets, they don't produce the same level of income. You throw a divorce into the picture. This really should have a dramatic impact, because what you're doing now is you're splitting your assets to support two separate households.
Right. So what happens later in life is that you actually get hit with a double whammy. Number one, not only you're splitting your assets, but you're splitting whatever income those assets generated, as well as whatever income you may still be generating if you're still working or if you've got pensions or Social Security or whatever's coming in. But whenever you're putting a divorce into the mix, what you have to remember is that you are taking the income and assets that used to support one household, and it's now supporting two. So while you might have thought you were putting away enough money for retirement based on the fact that you and your spouse were going to be living together and, you know, having a certain lifestyle, when that's no longer true, when you and your spouse split up, you're looking at a different retirement picture. And so when that happens, your income might not be able to support the lifestyle you expected it to support when you were at this stage in life.
And let's talk about divorce itself, because what is it that people really don't understand about divorce after 50? Because as you talk about in your book, every divorce is different.
I think what most people don't understand about divorce after 50 is the whole financial impact and the fact that the truth is what America hasn't seen. It's seen a lot of divorce and a divorce rate that was going up substantially. Actually, the divorce rate for the general population has been going down for quite a number of years now, since the 80s. Most people don't realize that.
That's a statistic I wasn't aware of. I thought it was going in the opposite direction. You're telling me
no,
it's going in the opposite. What do you think is behind that?
I don't know. I think that early on in the 60s and when it became easier for people to get divorced, when the laws started to change, when women became more self-supporting and, you know, were then able to walk away from a marriage, whereas, you know, back in the day, that couldn't happen. If a woman was divorced, she had no way to support herself, so she was more likely to stay in a marriage where she wasn't happy or fulfilled. Once those started to happen societally, the divorce rate started going up because people were able to get divorced. It became a viable option. And then at some point, that trend leveled out. And now the divorce rate is actually, for the general population, a little bit under 50%. and I'm not sure why, except that I do know that the divorce rate for one demographic of people is going up, and that's the boomers. And there's been a lot of speculation in academic circles about why that is. I mean, let's be real. We didn't see our grandparents getting divorced at 70, but now it happens. And it happens more often than it ever happened before in the history of this country. And a lot of people have speculated as to why that might be, but I don't know of any study that's got a definitive answer that said, oh, it's because of this or that. Maybe the problem is as you get older, if you didn't have a good marriage your whole life, when you get older and you have to spend more time together, things are not likely to magically improve. And people, you know, they get to a certain age and they realize that they only have so many more years on the planet, and they want to make the best of them, and they want to do the things that they wish they had done years earlier. So sometimes people are getting divorced later in life because they want to have a life. They've got their own reasons. And that's what people are speculating maybe behind the boomer divorce surge, but I don't think really anybody knows. And the truth is, every divorce is different, just as every marriage is different. So I struggle with the fact when somebody says, oh, the reason for, you know, the divorce rate going up or down is this and this and this and this. You know, that's probably true to a certain extent, but, you know, every case is different, so you just never know.
Yeah, because, you know, one of your articles, The Different Shades of Gray Divorce or 50 Shades of Gray, you find all kinds of different circumstances, and you can't put a generality on divorce. You have divorces that involve no children. Sometimes you have adult children or even minor children, and you have couples that are well off or not well off. We did a case study on a couple that was well off and got divorced very, very late in life. Karen, what do you do if someone you love is facing a gray divorce?
First of all, the most important thing that somebody facing a gray divorce needs to do is get help. You may be able to do a do-it-yourself divorce when you're 20 years old, you've been married for a year, you have no kids, no property, and nothing to lose. I mean, I'm not saying that those divorces aren't emotionally devastating and that they don't hurt and that you can't lose money. Of course you can. But there's a big difference between doing that and getting divorced when you're in your 50s, 60s, 70s and you've got retirement accounts and a house and a lifetime of stuff together and kids who are adults. All of those things make your divorce more complicated. So you really need professional help. You're going to need a lawyer to guide you. You're going to need a therapist or a coach to help you deal with the emotional aspect of divorce. And more than anything, you're going to need financial help in looking at the effect that your divorce is going to have not only on your assets, but on your income and your lifestyle. Because when you're divorcing later in life, if you've got less money coming in and less of a nest egg behind you that you can rely on, you may have to make some hard choices. You may have to say, either I have to go get a job again, you know, which is kind of, it's difficult for anyone, but especially somebody who might have been retired already for years to think about. But if you don't have enough money coming in to cover your expenses, you've only got a limited number of choices. Either A, you get a job and you make more money. B, you cut back on your expenses and you pare down your lifestyle substantially so that you are now living within your means. Or C, if there's a gap between what you bring in and what you spend, then you can rely on your assets. You can spend down your assets to cover the gap. But then you better have a financial planner who you can work with that is able to tell you, you know, how much you can spend at what rate so that you don't outlive your assets. I mean, the last place anybody wants to be is 80-something or 90 years old with no money to support themselves and no job, no income, and no way to live, and then have to either, you know, go on public assistance or move back in with your children. That's just not where you want to find yourself at that age.
What about this idea, and we're seeing this more and more in retirement today, where people do, whether, you know, they're staying together as a married couple, they arrive at retirement age and they just don't have the assets, or the assets that they have just don't produce the kind of income. I mean, I can remember if it was the year 2000, you could get 8% in very safe securities. Today, you're lucky to get 2%.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a bigger question that's not just about divorce, but that's about, did you do proper retirement planning when you were in a position to save more for retirement? And if you find that you're at retirement age and there's not the nest egg there that you expected, whether it's because the market took a downturn or you're not getting the interest, you know, or the return on your investment that you anticipated, then you've got, again, you've got hard choices. All you can do is either continue to work past the age at which you plan to retire, or you pare down your lifestyle substantially so that you live within your means. And those are really your only two options. I mean, you can continue to outspend your earnings until all of your money is gone. But again, that puts you right back in the situation of being really, you know, at a later point in life when there's nothing you can do and you have no options and you have no money. And that's scary. That's a really scary thought.
Let's talk about, you're in a situation, the marriage is not going well, you're contemplating divorce. What are the steps that you would recommend somebody take before they make that big decision? Because a lot of times, at least this has been my experience as a financial planner, is that you see individuals that all of a sudden they get into a divorce and they had no idea going through it what the consequences were going to be financially and emotionally.
The first thing that anybody thinking about divorce needs to do is deal with how they feel, because divorce is about 80% emotional and 20% legal and financial. So if you don't have a handle on your emotions and you're really angry at your spouse or you're upset or, you know, you're riding an emotional roller coaster, those are the kinds of things that will fuel the fight in your divorce and make it take longer, cost more, and have you end up with a worse deal. Another thing that I see with older people is that you don't want the fight to drag on forever, so they settle without understanding the financial consequences of their settlement. And then after the fact, you know, they might have gotten their divorce done really quickly, but after the fact, they realize they're screwed. You know, so step number one is to deal with your emotions. Step number two is to educate yourself. Make sure you talk to a financial planner and a lawyer on the front end so that you can get the information that you need to find out, okay, what's this really going to look like? If I go through a divorce, A, what's the price range of how much it's going to cost? Now, there's no lawyer or therapist or any professional that I know of who's going to be able to guarantee you, oh, it's going to cost you X amount of dollars to get divorced. Nobody has a crystal ball, but what they can give you is a range. So take into account what the range of cost is going to be, subtract that from what assets you have, and then work with a financial planner to say, okay, based on this is our marital estate right now, this is how much money that we have, this is how much money that we owe. What's our financial picture now? Wrap your head around what it is now, and then you can start looking at scenarios of, okay, if we've got, you know, $500,000 in the bank right now to retire on, you have to assume that, you know, you're going to end up with somewhere between 40 and 60% depending on what your situation is and the law and blah, blah, blah. But you're certainly not going to end up with that whole amount. So if you cut it in half and you say, okay, now all of a sudden I've got 250, what does that mean for my financial future? You know, so really the biggest difference for people who are divorcing later in life when their other options are closing down, when their resources are limited, is to make sure that they have a clear understanding, or as clear as it gets, of what their decision to divorce, the impact that that's going to have on their life and on their lifestyle. And, you know, that's for the person who's contemplating divorce. The other side of the coin is that there's usually one person who didn't know that divorce was in the air. And so the other thing I would say to people is your divorce, it'll be less expensive, it'll be less ugly, there'll be less grief and aggravation for you and your children if you can find a way to work with your spouse to end your marriage in a civilized way. And that could be through mediation, that could be through collaborative divorce, it could be, basically it means staying out of court. And so if you can talk to your spouse before you've made the decision to divorce and include your spouse in on that decision, things will go easier and the two of you can get to a point, perhaps, or at least you have some chance of getting to a point where you can do the best you can, both of you, to maximize the amount of money that's left rather than to fight and blow through it. Because if you have an expensive divorce, every dollar you spend on your divorce is coming out of your bottom line. And when you don't have the time to make that bottom line up, that's a problem.
You know, one of the things I've discovered in my years dealing with clients and going through a divorce, one of the biggest shocks, Karen, I found is you split the assets, you're going to split income depending on what the arrangements are. But now, two separate spouses are now looking to buy a home where they had one home as a couple. Now, you're essentially buying two homes, and that means drawing down assets more than you thought.
Right. And so another thing to think about is that a smart financial decision for you? You know, do you need to buy a home? Or, you know, should you look at something like a condo or a townhouse or something that is smaller and less expensive? Or do you even need to buy real estate at all at this stage in life? Maybe it's a great idea and a great investment. Maybe it's not. So those are also things that you have to think about, you know, when you're looking at, okay, we're going to sell the one house, do we buy two? You know, you've got to take into account your entire financial picture.
Yeah, because sometimes when you start looking at it realistically, the only decision is either one, you're going to have to work, or number two, you're going to have to downsize. So instead of, let's say, a nice house that you lived in, you may end up getting a townhouse or a condo instead.
Right. And that may be perfectly okay. I mean, the other thing is, presumably, although not always, you know, your children are grown and out of the house, and so you might not need as much space. On the other hand, again, it depends on your situation. Some people got married later in life or had children later in life. So they, you know, it's possible for people, I mean, I've had clients who were in their 60s who still had minor children. It's not unheard of. So what you do depends a lot on what your own individual circumstances are. But even when you have children, children need a lot of things. They don't necessarily need a house. And I know that's what most parents want to provide for their children. They want a house, they want a backyard, they want all these things, and that's awesome. But if you can't afford it, you know, it's worse to buy a house and then find out that you can't make the payments and have it foreclosed on and lose everything. That's going to be worse and more traumatic for your children than just saying to them, you know what, kids, we're going to find a nice apartment.
Let's talk a minute about the emotional aspects of it. What about support groups or counselors that can help a person deal with the emotions of going through a divorce? Because some of the times what I have seen is one particular spouse will judge themselves as a result of it.
And all over the country, there are different support groups, local support groups that can help. I strongly recommend anyone going through a divorce not to try to go through it alone. I mean, no matter how strong you think you are, no matter how you think, oh, I've got this, it's rough. I mean, it is really rough. And especially if you've been in a long-term marriage, not only are you, you know, looking at a whole different lifestyle and finances, but you're losing your spouse and you're losing your identity as a married person, an identity that you might have had for decades. And don't underestimate that. So, you know, for everyone going through a divorce, it's a great idea to get therapy for a while. Go through counseling. Find a good individual counselor. You can also use a coach. There are relationship coaches, life coaches, divorce coaches. All of these people can help you deal with the emotional aspect of your divorce and help you get through your divorce in a better way. There's a lot of support groups. There's even some online groups. You can look on Facebook. There's a bunch of different support groups on Facebook that you can use if that's your thing, if you want to go online and talk. Some people aren't comfortable with that, and that's okay too. But what I'm saying is there are a lot of options. And can you rely on family and friends? Yes, of course. But A, they're not professionals, and the advice that they give you might not be what you really need. B, if they don't know about divorce, there's a lot of things that they can miss. And C, after a while, your friends and family are going to get tired of hearing you talk. They're going to want to talk about something other than just your divorce and your situation and, you know, the pain and problems you're going through. So getting support from people who that's what they do is always going to be a good idea.
Yeah, because this is so important. We had a client that basically went through a divorce. They had the same friends. You know, they played golf at the same country club, and it was really an uncomfortable situation because when you've been in a marriage for a long period of time, you have the same friends, or in this case, you know, they had the same friends. They went to the same country club. What do you do when you split? It makes it really difficult.
It does. And this is one of those things that most people don't think about when they start thinking about divorce. But I can promise you, if you've been married, especially if you've been married a long time, when you get divorced, you are going to lose some percentage of your friends. And, you know, it may not be that, you know, your friends aren't bad or evil, you know, or they might not even side with one or the other of you. They just don't know what to do. So sometimes, you know, your friends won't want to take sides, so you and your spouse both lose the friend, or the friend does take sides and you lose them because of that, or you find out that they're not really much of a friend or there to support you in your time of need, so you lose them for that reason. Or it may be that, you know, it's just too uncomfortable for you to go to the same places and see the same people where you might run into your, you know, soon-to-be ex-spouse. So for a lot of reasons, you're going to lose a lot of your friends, and that's why I'm saying it's so important to get some professional help, somebody to support you emotionally, you know, a support group, a therapist, whatever, because you're going to need that. You're going to lose a lot of things when you get divorced, and that's not a judgment. It's not right, wrong, good, or bad. It's just the fact of how this goes.
So as we sum up, Karen, if you were to lay out a couple easy steps for somebody that is, let's say, considering this or may suspect that it may be coming, maybe they're in a relationship where it's just not going well, sum up the steps that a person should take.
First, you're going to deal with your emotions and deal with how you feel and get somebody on board that you can talk to. Number two, you're going to start to educate yourself. I have a lot of resources available on my website. It's KarenCovey.com. People can go there, and actually I have a special website page set up for your listeners, which is KarenCovey.com/financial news hour. So if you go to that page, you can get a series of checklists of documents that you need, things for you to think about, tools you can use to help you get through your divorce, because there's a lot to it and a lot of financial information that you're going to need. So step number three, you know, after you've started to educate yourself about the divorce process and what it entails, you're going to need to start collecting documents, because divorce is a very document-driven process. So you're going to need to get tax returns and bank statements and, you know, a whole laundry list of items. The more of that that you can collect on the front end before things go really sour in your relationship, the better off you're going to be. Then the fourth thing you're going to do is start putting together a team of people who you can work with to help you through this time. And again, the financial advisor is going to be a really important part of that, as well as somebody on the mental health side and someone on the legal side, because you're going to need advice about what your options are and how you can get through this. So those are the first few steps that you're going to need to take to start going in the right direction. But really what you need is education, you need information, and you need some support.
And Karen, as we close, you want to tell our listeners about your book?
Yeah, I wrote the book, When Happily Ever After Ends, How to Survive Your Divorce Legally, Financially, and Emotionally. And the book is a great tool for people who are thinking about divorce and who are overwhelmed by it. It will help you understand what you're going through, deal with the spouse who is kind of off the charts crazy for the moment, understand what you have to put together, organize your documents, organize all of the different areas of your life that you have to organize when you're going to get a divorce. And it just helps you when you're starting off in the process to get through it in a better way. Because, you know, the part of divorce that we haven't talked about is that it's so overwhelming. Because it affects every area of your life, you don't know what to do first or where to go or where to turn. The book can help you get a handle on that so that you don't feel so lost.
And finally, your website?
My website is KarenCovey.com. It's C-O-V-Y, KarenCovey.com. And like I said, there's a bunch of different tools and things that readers can get for free. I write a lot of articles. not just the ones that are on gray divorce, but a lot of the articles on divorce finances and the emotions of divorce can help a lot of people. And there are different things, you know, you can get checklists and a toolkit and other things, again, that can help you understand what you're going through so that you can take control of your life and your divorce process and not let it control you.
Well, listen, Karen, I want to thank you for coming on the program. A great book, and it's a very difficult subject, but I think it needs to be dealt with and planned for. I want to thank you for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, that concludes my interview with Karen Covey. Once again, it's a very difficult subject that we wanted to cover here on the program because it can be very dramatic when it comes upon you. A lot of times people go through divorces and they don't plan or haven't thought about the financial aspects of it and how much your life will change. I hope you enjoyed the interview. In the meantime, until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.